Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have Filene's very own Paul Dion talking about one of their latest reports, overdraft protection programs, credit unions best practices. Oh my gosh, such a compelling topic right now in our industry, and Paul gives us all the findings that they discovered in this report, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Filene's very own Paul Dion, right? Did I get it right?
That's right.
Got it, yes, Paul Dion. Hey Paul, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Doing great. We were just talking before the recording, and it's going to date this recording, but we were talking about the crazy football weekend that just occurred, and we're still reeling from that because this is a Monday morning. It's like, oh my gosh, what a weekend that was. So, but we're here talking about something equally as I want to say maybe controversial or compelling. Let's say compelling. You guys did a report on overdraft protection programs, credit unions best practices. So, and I've been seeing more and more of these stories in the trades, and we've done a few of the interviews as well with credit unions who are eliminating these fees just based on what's been going on with the pandemic and all these other things that are going on. So it's really a hot topic right now. So as usual, Filene is right there in the mix doing reports and giving us the latest and greatest. So that said, can you give us a quick overview of this report?
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks for having me today. Sure. You know, it's a controversial topic. Let's not deny that for sure. I don't think the Filene report is going to be controversial, though. Compelling is the better word. As you know, we try to stick to the facts and just analyze what's happening out there and come up with some insights and recommendations. And that's basically what this report does.
Okay.
It's a sort of a broad overview of the issue as it stands in terms of non-sufficient funds and the overdraft protection programs that credit unions have put into place, and sort of does a broad industry scan to see what's happening in that sector and where does it fit in for the credit union balance sheet historically, what purpose has it served for the members and for the credit unions, and brings us up into the present day to think about what's going on now. And mm-hmm. and the findings suggest, and this is a longtime Filene researcher, Luis DiPico, who's mm-hmm. who's done a lot of work for us and very thoughtful economist on the topic. And then it comes up with some recommendations and insights to really start prompting credit unions to say, hey, this is time to start rethinking how you're approaching this, because there's some new context, there's some new insight about how the programs have affected members in ways that we didn't anticipate. And this is a good moment to take a pause and reevaluate the programs that credit unions are offering for their members.
Yeah, I just find this so interesting, just based on what's going on and stuff. So what's the reason or reasons? Let's just stick to one because of time's sake, and I don't want to steal all the thunder of the report. I want people to go check it out. So what did you guys discover was the reason for this shift or just kind of this mindset?
Well, it's almost like a perfect storm, if you will, Mike. There's a lot of factors that have come into play, and they're all kind of coming together. And I think the first and foremost we should talk about is the pandemic, right? And so this is a moment where everything's up in the air now, and credit unions are forced to rethink all of the work that they do and rethink what is the value that we're creating for our members and bringing that forward. And so that's a big factor and a big moment of reflection, I would say. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a wave of consumer attitude shift towards overdraft fees.
Yeah.
And people, you know, going out and buying a $2 cup of coffee and being hit with a $35 overdraft fee.
That's an expensive cup of coffee right there.
That's right. And so, you know, that example is starting to circulate on social media. And so we're seeing a shift in consumer attitudes towards the overdraft mm-hmm. fees. So that's a big pressure. We're seeing the beginnings of regulatory scrutiny. Regulators are starting to pay attention and politicians are starting to think about this issue in a way of like, hey, maybe this is something we should address. And so we anticipate that maybe on the horizon. So those are two big factors. And okay. then I think credit union leaders are seeing a shift in light of that larger context, but also internally. This was something that credit unions did 20 years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago in some cases, as an opportunity to support members. And so really it was a question of like, if I have an automatic bill paid for my water bill and I don't have sufficient funds, I get in trouble with the water company. Yeah. I'm going to take a hit on my credit score. I'm going to get in trouble with my credit union and they're going to give me they're going to ding me. So I'm facing all these bills.
That's a triple whammy right there. It sounds
triple like. Triple whammy. Gosh. Exactly. Yeah. And so credit unions at the moment said, hey, let's think about courtesy pay as an opportunity to really help support our members and improve their opportunities to be mm-hmm. successful financially mm-hmm. and otherwise. And so instead of not making the payment to that water bill or that essential expense that somebody's trying to do, and having them get in trouble on that end, we're gonna pay that bill anyway, and we'll charge you a small price to cover that.
Gotcha.
And so that was the idea. That was the mentality from 20 years ago, and we're noticing that the ground underneath us has shifted over that time during that period, and we're seeing different types of insights come up that suggest that these are maybe not as member friendly as we used to think they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And so, how can credit unions kind of reimagine these programs? I know this is probably too soon to like really dive into this deep, but I mean, because this is kind of we're kind of on the cusp of this wave, it seems like, or the beginnings of it. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some more creative ways to do this in the future. But what have you seen so far as reimagining something like this?
Well, we've seen some really interesting and rapid shifts, announcements from various credit union leaders saying, "Hey, we're going to get rid of these fees," entirely, and even some of the larger banks in the past couple of years have made similar announcements. And I think it's important for us to take a step back and be a little bit more thoughtful about it. So I'm thinking about those that are on the fence and say, well, there's the press release of like, hey, we're getting rid of fees.
Yeah.
One major bank, for example, got rid of the fees. But if you didn't resupply your checking account in 24 hours, they're going to slap the fee on you anyway. So it's maybe more of a press release than an actual substantive change.
And they had a timer on it.
Yeah, exactly. So there's changes, and then there's announced changes that are maybe less substantive for the consumer.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing, is really think about what's the impact to your member, and how can you do right by your member, and really support their needs and the changing needs that we're seeing in our members. And mm-hmm. and for that, I would say one of the larger issues that we've seen, where we've been tracking over the last 20 years, is a shift in the ways that consumers have a much more volatile income stream than people used to have. You know, we used to all work in the factory, if you will, and get our steady paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. And now there's larger and larger numbers of consumers who are having very variable paychecks. If you're an Uber driver, if you're in the gig economy, that paycheck doesn't always show up. It's not always guaranteed. And so how do you help members smooth their income? Because sometimes the money is not in the account and you still need to buy milk for the kids.
Yep.
And then next week, there'll be plenty of money in the account when things work out in a different way. And so how do we provide products that are really going to help smooth the income streams that our members have?
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about the whole gig economy. I mean, talk about a roller coaster as far as revenue coming in and out. So yeah. And I've also heard that, a lot of credit unions have been applauded for doing something like this, but there's other credit unions out there that I've heard that this isn't right for them doing something like this. So that there again, like it's not right for everybody to do something like this. So did you guys come across any of that as well? Or
we did. And it's really, you're right, Mike. It's not a one size fits all solution in terms of how credit unions want to address the issue. We do suggest everybody sort of take a moment to pause and reflect and look at their data and think about what the answer is for them. But the answer is not going to be the same for everybody. Right. And for some credit unions, particularly smaller ones, this is a substantial source of their non-interest income. And we've seen the compression of interest rates. We've seen the challenge to the balance sheet and credit unions, especially during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big source of revenue. And so, it'd be nice to do that for our members or for the public. But at the same time, how are we going to make up those lost revenues, right? Exactly. How are we going to make up for that income? And so that's a real challenge that a lot of credit unions are facing as they're kind of reevaluating these policies. And in that regard, there are opportunities to boost your non-interest income in other ways, in more member-friendly ways that are explored in the report.
Yeah, which brings us back to the creative part of it all, which we will see over time, I'm sure. Hey, I know there are several findings that you guys discovered in this paper or this report as well. And again, I don't want to steal all your thunder, but can you share maybe one or two of them that you guys discovered?
Sure thing. One of the findings that we came up with that was very interesting is that the number of people that are heavy overdrafters is actually quite small. It's less than 2% of your member base. And so, most people don't overdraft, or if they do, it's maybe once or twice a year. And it's usually an oops, you know what I mean? It's a mistake. And then the heavy overdrafters, that people that do it 6+ times a year, it's almost a strategy for them. And we don't want to assume that they're like making poor financial decisions. And in many cases, these are very strategic decisions that people are making. So we found, like, for example, people are saying, well, gosh, you know what, if I do the overdraft, instead of putting the cup of coffee on my credit card, or not even think about a cup of coffee, but let's think about a gallon of milk, an essential expense. Instead of putting on the credit card and tipping, going over the balance and affecting my credit score, I can do an overdraft. And that's a lot more expensive for me, but it's not going to affect my credit score. Yeah. So sometimes people are making that calculation.
Wow.
And that was an interesting kind of finding that we had in the research.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not always a mistake, and it's sometimes it's
even think of that
strategy.
It's like, wow. You're going to say another one real quick?
Yeah. And in terms of the revenues, it's, you know, we found that it's about 13% of non-interest income on an average for credit unions. So not a small amount by any means. And so that really helped highlight the relevance of this topic for credit unions in terms of figuring out the, you know, the revenue side, as well as the what's best for our members and how do we support our mission.
Yeah, you got to have something coming in to keep the lights on and to serve those members. So yeah, again, I think, again, we're just at the beginning of this, as we all know, and we're going to have some really creative, innovative thoughts on this as time goes on. And I'm sure you guys are right there going to be on it as well. So we appreciate all the work that you guys do there at Filene. Anything else? Oh, no, my last question here was, what was the goal of the report? What did you guys want to accomplish? I mean, other than bringing this to light and really sharing what credit unions are doing out there, what else did you guys want to achieve here?
Sure. Well, those were the first pieces. We wanted to bring it to light. We want to give credit unions the tools to think through the question,
right?
As they're evaluating, as they're seeing the press releases and the press, you know, all the media attention, like for them to start to dive in. We wanted them to have some data and to have some understanding of what this looks like. What's the problem really, as we define it, and maybe give them some tools and some ideas to think through what the solutions might be for them that work best for their credit union. So one of the suggestions, for example, is if you're going to get rid of the overdraft protection charges, that $35 charge or $30 charge, what if you gave your members a line of credit? So you give them a $500 line of credit automatically. It's not a huge risk for the credit union, but it really helps the members out with that income smoothing piece. And then also helps make sure that you can shore up your finances and make sure you're not getting in trouble with your members at the same time.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh my gosh. And your members would just be doing backflips over that, I would think. So yeah, it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And talk about the value of your credit union just going skyrocketing in your members' eyes. Wow. See, there we go. There's one great idea right there that's going to make send shockwaves to the industry. So good stuff. Anything else to add here, Paul, to wrap up?
No, I would just say, Mike, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I think there's that larger context of a lot of Americans are facing those income volatility struggles. This is it's a hot button issue right now. It's on everybody's mind. But at the same time, it's also pointing to a larger issue that we're facing and that credit unions, it's, in my mind, is an opportunity for credit unions to, you know, nobody's really come up with a way to help with that income smoothing in a very sort of comprehensive fashion. Mm-hmm. And what if credit unions can come up with that solution for their members, that would be pretty amazing. And so I'm hopeful that people see the bigger picture as well.
Yeah, good point. Good point. All righty, Paul. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time. And we'll include the link to this report in the show notes so people can get right to it and check out all the details, because we just scratched the surface here, obviously. So really, really good stuff here, Paul. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some more innovative and creative ideas as we move forward. So yeah, and definitely credit unions are the on the tip of the spear here, for sure. So.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, Mike. And I want everybody to know that the report is publicly available. Anybody can download this one. So
right on.
Have at it.
All righty. We'll put that link in the show notes so people can get right to it. And again, Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate it. This is fantastic information.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you later.
You are welcome.